This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. And in about half an hour, I'm going to be having my breakfast grill. And I'll be speaking with Mr. Lau Ching Cho, Research Manager in the Economics and Business Unit with Ideas, and Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Head of Research at MIER. And of course, we all know that the MCO to put in place to flatten the COVID-19 pandemic curve has left significant scar tissue on the economy. But with every crisis, is there an opportunity? And does this allow for a reset of our economy? And maybe what policies should we adopt to overcome some of the structural issues as a country we face? So do tune in after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we're going to have a look at the Republican National Convention, or RNC, which was held last week, with President Donald Trump officially nominated for re-elections along with Vice President Mike Pence.
Yeah, so this RNC took place a week after the DNC, which is basically the Republican powwow and the Democratic powwow. And the DNC was held virtually in light of the virus, as well as the RNC being held from multiple locations this year. So they maintain in-person audiences. In fact, the finale for the Republican powwow was held in the White House itself, which was itself a controversial decision.
So with 2 months until the US presidential elections, how have party conventions set the tone for the fierce race ahead? Joining us to discuss this is Mark J. Rozelle, Dean of the Shah School of Policy and Government at George Mason University. Welcome to the show, Mark. Now, what kind of messaging did the Trump administration put across in his bid for a second term?
So during the Republican convention, the president really was emphasizing the following themes. First, the policy accomplishments of the administration that they are claiming. Secondly, what they consider to be the dangers to the country should Joe Biden be elected as president. And then I think third, really to focus on a number of the problems going on around the country as not President Trump's fault. Now, normally in American politics, when there is discord around the country, such as the violence we're seeing in a number of cities, people tend to blame the incumbent. But the president is trying to shift blame by saying it is happening in cities that are led by Democratic mayors, for example, or states led by Democratic governors, and therefore suggesting that the Trump administration really is not responsible for some of the discord that's happening around the country at this time.
Yeah, the Republicans held their powwow at the White House itself, which was seen to be controversial. What were the main issues involved there?
Well, first of all, whether it actually should have been held on the grounds of the White House at all. This is unprecedented. These national party conventions in the United States are, of course, held in cities around the country that host these four-day-long events. Given that there is the pandemic, obviously there could not be a large-scale gathering of thousands of people in a convention hall to have a four-day-long celebration, so this had to be done virtually. But doing it on the grounds of the White House, which is supposed to be really a hallowed ground, a place that generally should be conducted nonpartisan business, right? In effect, the president represents all the people and not just a political party or his own faction or following within his political party. So to use the White House in this fashion for a political party nominating convention was really shocking to many Americans, quite frankly, and quite a few people thought just simply inappropriate.
And Mark, how will you compare these two conventions in terms of how effectively they galvanize voter support?
So typically what happens in these conventions that certainly happened this time is that there is a boost in the polling immediately after each of the conventions. But once both of them are over, the polls tend to usually shift back to generally where they were prior to these events themselves. So the effect of these conventions tends to be rather short term, and then voters are looking toward the rest of the campaign, the candidate debates that are going to be taking place later, beginning in September, for example, and of course, how various scenarios play out with regard to the American economy, the pandemic, the search for some kind of vaccine or cure of some kind. All of these are going to play very significantly in the election. And as we get closer to Election Day, the impact of the conventions is going to be rather quite small at that point.
So in terms of policy issues that will guide the elections, which ones would be the most germane to the discussion?
Well, I think the pandemic is the overriding issue in the United States right now that's going to have the biggest impact overall. And one could certainly look at the what many consider disastrous response to the pandemic spread in this country and say there's been a colossal failure of leadership. But President Trump is making the case that, well, this was a foreign virus, first of all, that his administration jumped on it, even though many of his critics were saying what he was doing was wrong, and that we have a federal system where much of the decision-making in this country is not at the national level, but is conducted by city mayors, county executives, state governors, and the like, and that the president can't control all of that. So to the extent that the president can make the case that, well, it's really not his fault, and that there are others who share the blame for the failed response to the pandemic spread, and in fact, most of the blame belongs to others, perhaps he has some chance to convince enough Americans that this pandemic is not uniquely his fault and that others are primarily to blame, and therefore he's not going to suffer as much of the political consequences as one might expect.
Thank you for your time. That was Mark J. Rozelle, Dean at the Shah School of Policy and Government at George Mason University, reminding us about the fact that Trump is, what is his Trump card, no pun intended, is probably blame everyone else but himself, right?
Yeah, shifting responsibility. But intriguingly, the polls have him and his odds being shortened to be re-elected, which is quite a sea change from what it was 2 months ago when he was quite a way behind Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think if you look at some of the polls, like you say, Chuang, it has narrowed. But what Mark reminds us is that there is some fluctuation immediately after a convention, and it should somewhat normalize. But you know, when it comes to polls, as we are reminded in Malaysia, UK, and even in US in 2016, they're not terribly accurate, right? So who knows, come November the 3rd, what the outcome might be, who will actually get into the White House. And it will be something that I think that we'll be following very, very closely, you know, and monitoring as we get closer to November. But up next, we'll be speaking to Ben Sufian of the Merdeka Centre on the results of the slim by-elections. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.